Signing off. A few weeks ago, I was driving my 16-year-old son to school when I broke the news that this January's Catholic Herald column would be my last. The growth of the Trinity House Community Ministry, the weekly e-letter, the forthcoming book that Ever and I have coming out, Heaven in Your Home Letters and Guide, Inspiration and Tools for Building a Trinity House, all of this doesn't leave enough hours in the day. I've been blessed to write this column since 2013 when this son of mine was 5 years old. He shrugged and mumbled, "So what's your topic?" "Thinking about some challenges, but what have you got for me?" I asked. We were pulling up to the drop-off. He suddenly turned to me. "Do it on gratitude," he said, his face suddenly flashing a smile as he got out and slammed the door. From the mouths of, yes, teens. "Love you," I called out the window as I teared up. To heed my son's advice, first I want to thank my Herald readers for all their prayers, ideas, and feedback. My ultimate editor and beloved wife, Ever, our 5 children, Bishop Michael Burbage, Bishop Paul Laverty, my former assistant, Patricia Dewald, David Carlson, and the Herald staff, including Mike Flack, Kevin Schwiers, Ann Augerton, and Megan Bartlett. Over the years, I've convened a band of brothers who have generously given me ideas and read and critiqued drafts. You know who you are. Thank you. And now to the challenges. First, begin with wonder. Yes, the trials of each day are many, but to go upstream and recapture from the Lord in daily prayer a visceral sense of wonder and adoration at His glory, at His gifts, at His creation, and then to rejoice always, this is how life changes, how conversion begins and deepens. Second, cultivate gratitude. Yes, there's so much to get angry, anxious, and complain about, but to reflect, to remember, to articulate our gratitude daily, beginning in prayer and overflowing from there, is to step into the abundance God has prepared for us. To paraphrase my son, do your life on gratitude. Number 3, deepen communion. We are made in the image of our Trinitarian God, a communion of persons. God did not hardwire us to be autonomous lone rangers. We need to accept and lean into the way we are designed. Our default setting is for communion with and in God and then with others. 4, strive for integration and freedom in Christ. Each of us is something of a mystery to ourselves. Even St. Paul admitted, "What I do not understand. For I do not do what I want, but I do what I hate." From Romans 7:15. And so, with Jesus, we must go not only to the margins of our society, but also to our exiles within, approaching what we may view as problematic tendencies, thoughts, and emotions, patiently, tenderly, and persistently as we invite Jesus to continue to heal us. Our freedom and human formation in Christ rest not in a stoic turning away from our places of abandonment, shame, rejection, and pain, but in going confidently to those places with Christ. Number 5, claim victory. So many of us churn away in endless activity, work, approval seeking, or other addictive drives that look and feel like a never-ending war. Sometimes a chaotic childhood, divorce, or other wounds can hardwire us to expect that all of life is going to be like this. But Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, is victorious over chaos, sin, and death. Yes, many battles and skirmishes remain, but the war is over. So let's live like it, starting with observing the third commandment every Sunday. Number 6, let's pray for the people who don't know God's love. This was a spontaneous petition quoted in my first column from my oldest son, who was then 7 years old, during our family prayer one evening. Evangelizing may sound uncomfortable or awkward, but our response to the Great Commission begins within the bosom of our hearts, families, and homes, then spilling over naturally into the rest of our lives. Number 7, stay out of your comfort zone. And once you're out of it, fight hard to keep from falling back into it. My dad, who passed away in 2018, said this throughout my childhood, and I quoted him in my first column, so I'm giving him the near final word. But I saved the best until last. With our Blessed Mother Mary, the first evangelist, may our hearts quicken as her fiat becomes ever more our own. May it be done to me according to your word. And then may we heed her always. Do whatever he tells you.